Dr. Jackie, you're here. I see you on the bridge.
I am here, Lisa. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Excellent. Welcome to our Becoming a Coach class. As you hear, we have a volunteer coach and client, which I've just given the instructions for Coach the Coach. But would you want to say hi and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Sure, and I missed the volunteer's name, so you'll have to give that to me again. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, the coach is Tommy.
I got that.
How are you?
And our client is Claire.
Hi, Tommy. Claire, okay, sorry, I was multitasking. I don't do that well. So, hi, everybody. It's so great to be here. I love doing Coach the Coach, or VACs with Lisa, and being able to demonstrate Coach the Coach. We actually developed Coach the Coach, we here at CTA, because we understood the importance of actually practicing the skill and not just talking about it theoretically. As Lisa said, thinking about it and talking about it is a very, very different thing than actually coaching somebody. And it's always terrifying for people, but as Lisa said, there's tremendous learning in it. You're with your peers, your first community of practice, and that's very, very important, and everybody pulls for everybody else, so there's a lot of support. But we call it the hot seat because it is. Mm-hmm. We want to tell the truth about the experience. But there's no replacement for the kind of practice that you get. I graduated from CTA and was certified by CTA a long time ago, and came back to CTA in 2005 to join the faculty. And I attended three coach training organizations. First was CTA. The second was what it has become, ILCT, and then Relationship Coaching Institute, where I got my advanced coaching certifications in dating singles coaches, singles and coaching couples, which is what I do. And coaching is as much a lifestyle as it is a career. And it gives you ultimate flexibility, and you can make as much money as you want. You can work as many hours or as few hours as you want. It really is the only profession that I know of, and I've been in several in my career, that gives you the kind of flexibility, autonomy, and the ability to make unlimited income. So it's and it's rewarding and satisfying. You know how sometimes people get up in the morning and they go, and they really don't want to do the job they're doing, even if they're making a lot of money. But coaching, we get excited about being on our day, and you know, you look at your calendar, and I'll make that an I statement. I look at my calendar and I get all excited about who I'm going to see that day, and I think about, you know, what that's going to be like at the end of the day, because it's very rewarding, it's very satisfying, it's very exciting. So I am so happy to be here to be able to facilitate Coach the Coach with Tommy and with Claire. So shall we get going?
Yeah, let me just mention to folks, if you're not Tommy and Claire, if you can hit *6 and mute, I just want to be sure that we give them a nice, clear, clean line. And Dr. Jackie, I'll hit mute too, and I will turn it over to you.
Okay, thanks, Lisa. Okay, Tommy and Claire, I teach coaching differently than most trainers. And I didn't make this up. It's a legitimate teaching model. And it's called Angel on Your Shoulder. It's very proactive. Very often in all kinds of training programs, coaching included, you would do your coaching, and then there would be a review, what's called a postmortem. And the trainer would go over what you did and make suggestions about what might be better or comments about what you did. And I don't teach that way. I teach in a way that is very immediate. So, Tommy, I'll say sidebar. I'll interrupt you. Claire, you go into suspended animation. Stop talking. And then, Tommy, you and I will do some coaching, and I will help you. It's an opportunity to teach some stuff, to give you feedback, to make suggestions about your coaching. So it's all kinds of things. It's a little bit nerve-wracking because somebody is interrupting you. And you may feel like you are pulled out of connection with your client. And that's okay. The point of Coach the Coach is not to be in connection with your client and coach because you don't know how to coach. The purpose of Coach the Coach, as we do Coach the Coach at CTA, is for the coach to have a learning opportunity. There's no expectation that you will coach. The expectation is that you will come and be coachable and use your opportunity as the coach to learn. So, Tommy, how does that sound to you?
Good. Awesome.
Perfect. Okay. Claire, is that okay for you?
Fine.
Okay. Now, the reason that you asked your client what she wants to take away, we don't use the word agenda with clients because it's too jargony. We ask them what they want to take away. The reason that we do that is it's their invitation to step into the co-creative relationship. And as Lisa talked about, the co-creative relationship is the single biggest difference between a coaching relationship and all other helping professional relationships. No other helping professions use the co-creative relationship. So what would you like to take away from your session today is the invitation to step into the co-creative process. It is not, underscore not, it is not where you are tied to be and to go through the whole session. So don't get married to the takeaway. It's a place to begin. It's the place to step into the co-creative relationship. And one of the good reasons for that is that coaching is such a vigorous change process. And your powerful questions, that's what we have in our toolbox, are questions, powerful questions. And so powerful questions impel a deeper exploration. And when clients are in the process of exploring, lots of new awareness bubbles up, right? They start challenging beliefs or the way they think about things or expectations or assumptions. If you tie your client to the takeaway in the beginning, then you are negating the value of all of the shifting and changing and bubbling up of new awareness that's happening throughout the session. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect.
Yep.
Great. Great. Okay. All right. So, Tommy, in coaching, there's no suggesting or advising or fixing or leading. We pick up the coachable moment. We decide coachable moment is code for what would be helpful to the client for them to explore more. What would be helpful to the client for them to explore more? Because powerful questions are the tools we use in service of our clients.
Okay.
Okay? So
sure.
You will listen carefully to what Claire says, and then you'll think about what would be helpful for Claire to know more about, and then you will build a powerful question. Okay? And then you'll just proceed through the coaching session. Excellent. Okay, so Tommy, are you ready to coach Claire?
I am ready.
Okay. Claire, are you ready to be coached by Tommy?
I am ready.
Okay, excellent. All right, Tommy, carry on.
Okay, so Claire, so where would you like to start? What is going on in your life that you feel that you need to reach out to a life coach?
So the question, the only question you ask your client is, what would you like to take away? That is
okay.
The opening question.
All right. I actually wrote
what would
thing.
You like to take away? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Tommy. Carry on.
What would you like to take away from your session?
I'm in the process of trying to decide if my 91-year-old mother should be going to a nursing home or not. And I don't really know what to do. I'm very, very undecided. She's not physically.
All right, well.
Wait. You interrupted her. She was still talking. Did you hear that?
Oh, a little bit.
So you, I couldn't understand. She was still talking. Whoa. I'm the only one that's talking. Claire was still talking. She was very much involved in opening to what's going on for her. So your jumping in, Tommy, tells me that you might be in your head worrying about what you're going to ask rather than in listening mode. Would that be accurate?
Definitely accurate, but it's also a little bit hard to hear.
Really?
I'm talking.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. We don't hear anything.
So, Claire, are you having trouble hearing as well?
No. Everyone's very clear. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Oh, okay. I can hear you. So I'm wondering, Tommy, if you want to, what can you do about the phone so that you can really hear?
I mean, now it's fine. It was
there
at the end where I thought Claire was done speaking.
Okay.
Okay. So go slow. And the other thing is that if you start to ask a question that fast, then you haven't processed what she said. And there's no way that you can know what the coachable moment is, and you won't be able to build or construct your powerful question.
Okay.
Okay? Okay, great. Thanks, Tommy. So I'm going to... Yes, if you wouldn't mind, Claire.
Okay. All right. So, Tommy, I have a 91-year-old mother that I'm trying to decide if she should be going to a nursing home. She isn't physically ill. She is very mentally capable. But at this time of my life, I need more space and more freedom to go about my own personal business. Excuse me. So I really need to try to figure out what I should do. I'm feeling a bit guilty about doing this, but it's the only thing I can do because I don't have any other family member who is capable of taking care of her or dealing with her. So I'm a bit at a crossroads or dilemma about this situation with my mother. And that's where I'm at.
Okay. So the first thing that sticks out in my mind is that you said that you feel guilty about this. What about this process makes you feel guilty?
Okay, sidebar. So one of the things that you'll learn in coaching is that feelings are not coachable. We don't address feelings in coaching. They're not coachable. They exist because they are. They are honored. They are respected. But we don't drill down into feelings. What you'll learn in coaching is that beliefs, values, how people think about things, those are coachable. And then when we bring change to our or awareness or a shift in perception about values, beliefs, how we think about things, needs, competing priorities, then people's feelings change. So thought precedes feelings, and thought is very, very coachable. Does that make sense, Tommy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. So in this takeaway, Claire is really talking about trying to decide. When people are trying to decide something, they're trying to make a decision. And that's the centerpiece of the session at this moment. Now, it may morph, as she says, more about what's going on. But at this very moment in time, that's the coachable moment, and we build that powerful question to intersect the process of deciding. Decision-making is a process. You want to remember that.
Okay.
Okay, does that help?
It does, yeah.
Okay, good. All right, carry on.
So, Claire, let me ask, do you have brothers or sisters that you've spoken to about this?
Yes.
She doesn't have any other family members. Hang on. She said she doesn't have any other family members who can take care of her mother. Did you hear her say that?
I guess it slips my mind. Okay.
Okay. So let me ask you, Tommy, are you taking notes?
I am, yeah. I'm also kind of nervous and not remembering every little thing that's
Of course. It's completely understandable. It's completely understandable. So because the client has given you that level of detail, you wouldn't ask any additional questions about that.
Okay.
And because making a decision is the centerpiece of the coachable moment, you will only ask about decision-making as a process. That's the value of knowing that it's the coachable moment, because your question will intersect the coachable moments always.
Okay,
does that concept make sense to you? Sure. So if decision making is the coachable moment, then we want to ask questions about making decisions. So Claire, I'm just modeling for Tommy.
Okay.
So Claire, when you make decisions, what two or three things do you want to know? Or what makes sense for you to know first? Or when you're making decisions, what's your experience of making decisions in the recent past? See, so we're not talking about the problem, because we don't coach the problem, we coach the person. So we really want to help Claire understand as much about her decision-making process as possible, because the more she knows about how she makes decisions, the better she'll be able to make the decision, notwithstanding what the content is of the decision.
Okay.
That's pretty brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, I would have never thought of that, to be completely honest.
Right, yeah, this coaching stuff is so cool.
It's fascinating. It definitely is, to say the least. And I kind of like how off guard I am, in a sense. It is a fascinating thing.
And the other thing about it is it's totally new. Lisa and I always love to hear people say, oh, well, I've been coaching for years. I just want to get my certification and fill in the blank. Because coaching really is an art and science. And it's complicated. People don't realize how complicated coaching is. It's a skill set. That's why it takes 22 weeks to learn it.
Yeah.
So I love your enthusiasm for being off balance, because you will learn so much when you are not focused on doing it right. Because that's quicksand that, you know, you'll never get out of.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Okay, Tommy. So do you want to try to build a question about decision making?
Honestly, like from what you were saying, I'm definitely amazed at all the things that you said already, and I don't want to say that I'm lost completely, but this is, I wouldn't have thought of that, everything that you said, even just the starting questions. I hope it doesn't seem like I'm abandoning my want to volunteer, but if I can kind of piggyback on what you would say, that would, I think, be most helpful for me, if that's possible.
Sure. Absolutely. And in class, you can absolutely use the questions that I model. It's why I do that. So that's not abandoning at all. It's being very coachable.
Okay.
So, yeah, so carry on. Whatever hit you that is comfortable for you.
Okay, yeah, just like, so what would you ask her next? Or, I mean, I guess it depends on what Claire would say to those questions that you brought up.
Which one of those questions resonated with you the strongest?
I don't remember what you said verbatim, but you said something about, like, how do you make your decisions, or something of that nature, and you listed it in a couple of different ways.
Mm-hmm. What do you know about how you make decisions?
Yeah, that's what kind of fascinated me the most. That's a very simple question, and I think I would have thought of that.
Okay. Do you want to try that question?
Are you asking Tommy? Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking Tommy if you would like to ask that question to Claire.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, Claire, what do you know about your decision-making?
Okay. Well, usually when I'm making a decision, I consider not only myself, but if there's a person involved, what that person gets out of the decision, how that's going to impact that person. So that's where I am now. I know what I need. I need freedom. I need a sense of less responsibility for a parent, but I'm not quite sure what she needs, and that's where I'm stuck.
Okay. Now you listed examples of what you know about your decision making with something like this, but how about something in general? Something that doesn't have to do with your mother possibly going into a nursing home.
Mm-hmm. And why would you ask that question?
I was wondering if, I mean, this is obviously more of a touching subject. This is a family member. It's the person who raised this person. If maybe a person could be overthinking it, if all decisions are, whether they're big or little, could be maybe made the same. I think that it just kind of gives the person who's talking with the client, it just kind of gives you a better understanding of, I mean, this is someone that you've never met before, so I think it just kind of helps the coach out to just kind of figure out and know the person a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. So it's really, so everything you're saying is really interesting. Let's look at the question you asked. What do you know about how you make decisions? You actually asked a very open, general question. Your client took it back to her dilemma. So she didn't use the open question to talk about her process in general. So you wouldn't go back and ask that question. She had an opportunity to do that, and what she did was she essentially said, no, I want to really think about it in terms of here. And then she gave you another piece of information, which is why we've listened so carefully. She said everything she's been saying, and then she said, that's the thing, I'm not sure what she needs. And it's a perfect example of what coaching does. So she took your question, she used it for herself, and she gave, she tapped into, surfaced, there's a way to say that, another piece for herself. And the new piece was, not sure what she needs. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Okay, so coaching is a lot like leaving breadcrumbs. So this, but I don't mean to minimize the power of what they're sharing, but we work in micro pieces. And so the next important micro piece is not sure what she needs. So we would call that the coachable moment. And then you would build the next question to intersect and then for your client to explore her own knowing, wisdom, and vision about not sure what she needs.
Okay. And that's what you said would be the coachable moment, is understanding what it is the client needs?
Yes, understanding what would be helpful for the client to explore more. So the new piece here would be helpful for her to explore more. Not sure what she needs.
Okay.
So if you weren't on the phone with a bunch of people and me, and you were just sitting with Claire in your living room, what might you ask Claire next if you were just chatting?
I would ask, this is obviously a bit of a big decision. When was the last time you had to make a decision of this magnitude, of this size?
Mm-hmm. So you're still stuck on the decision-making, and that train left the station.
Okay.
The new focus, you've got to be very agile, like a hockey player. Like the puck isn't where it was anymore, it's somewhere else. You got to go where it is. And where it is, I'm not sure what she wants.
Okay.
So we have to go with where the client is.
Okay.
So she's not talking about making a decision anymore. That's done. And now we're here in this new place.
Right.
Just conceptually, Tommy, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, good. So I'm going to help a little more. Is that okay with you?
Yes, please.
Okay. So there are a couple of things to do here that are possibilities. Not sure what she needs. One of them is, she said, I know what I need. I'm not sure what she needs. Well, how could you know? I'm wondering how you could know. I'm wondering what one way is you might be able to know. That would be my favorite question. I'm wondering what one way is that you might be able to know.
Okay.
See, it's very general. It's very open-ended. I'm wondering what one way might be. Might is always a good word. It's very tentative. I don't want to say, how would you know? How could you know? I don't want to nail down the client because we're in exploration. So I want to use language that really is holding the container for exploring. That's why I'm wondering, might, that you're not specific. So powerful questions lack specifiers.
All right.
Okay. Do you want to try that question?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just hard to like go back and forth between trying to remember all the little details in the question and just between the writing, you know.
Yep. It is. You're right. Would it help to give you the question again?
Yeah, it would.
Okay, I'm wondering what might, I'm wondering how you might know. I'm not sure what she needs. I'm wondering how you might know.
Okay.
Okay.
And so I should ask that question now?
If you're willing, that would be great.
So Claire, what is a way of knowing what you might need?
What my mom might need?
Yeah, he got confused. What your mother needs.
Right.
How might you know? How might you know, Claire?
Well, I guess the best way to do that is to really ask her. That would be the simplest way to really get an answer that I cannot answer. To just ask her, what's the best thing for her? And if she needs any kind of timing in order to accept the inevitable of actually having to go to a nursing home.
Mm-hmm. And knowing what you now know, how likely is it you might ask?
Oh, absolutely, I'm going to ask.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think of that before.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you've got a way forward and some clarity about this. Did I hear that right?
Yes. A lot of clarity and some action. Now I can take action because I was stuck with the thought of what do I do? Now I'm not stuck with what do I do. The next thing to do is just ask for it.
Got it. So, Claire, would this be an okay place to end for today?
Oh, yeah. I'm good.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, yeah, so Claire, thank you so much for being willing to do this. I know it can be. I'm sorry? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Welcome to coaching. Seriously, it's so powerful. And Tommy, gosh, thank you so much for pushing through and being so willing and so coachable. It really, really helped the learning for everybody, and I hope that it helped you learn a few things about coaching.
No, yeah, absolutely. It definitely did.
Thank you, Tommy.
So, Tommy, what do you...
Oh, you're welcome.
So, Tommy, what do you think... What do you think your takeaway is from your work tonight? One of your takeaways?
Well, with everything that I've ever done in my life, the thing that I've always focused on the most is what I'm not doing correctly. So the things that stick out to me is I need to listen to the small little details. You know, I should have known off the bat that Clary does not have anyone else to go to and ask. So that was like one thing I definitely could have avoided, like an easy thing I could have avoided. And, again, just like, I think that I kind of could have gotten my own head a little bit and really made the situation a lot more difficult. And not that it was an easy thing, I guess, but I think I made it a little bit more difficult. And again, being nervous and like going back and forth didn't make it easy either. But I think just attention to details and just kind of just asking the obvious questions like you did, I think that was just at the very least a very good starting point. This was something that had a very quick answer and a quick resolution to. And I think I just kind of made it a little bit harder on myself.
Yeah, and that's what happens in particularly in training, and new coaches do this too. They really overthink things because you think to ourselves, well, it can't be this easy. And it really isn't that it's easy, but there is a flow to it, and there is, once you get in the flow and you get into the science of it, it really does go just the way this goes. I mean, even with all the interruptions and the teaching moments and the, you know, all of that. We asked 5 questions, and there she was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Claire, anything to add?
Yeah. Tommy helped me to understand the other side of it. As he's going through, as you are speaking to him and asking him or telling him what he needs to ask, and I can feel his nervousness, I'm saying, well, you know what? It's okay to be nervous. It's okay. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that from him, that there's a certain amount of fear or nervousness and a certain amount of patience in the whole process as well.
Yes. Well, well said. Yeah, really appreciate that you saw that. Thank you. So, Lisa, if you would... either open up the lines or everybody, you can hit *6. And I think that will put you, oh, Lisa, are you there? Will that do it if they hit *6?
Yep, they can all just hit *6 to unmute.
Okay, great. So who has some questions, thoughts, questions, or feedback about this demo? Who would like to start?
I would. This is Michelle. I think that it was really interesting to me. Yeah, no problem. Really interesting for me because of actually one of those things you said early on was that there was multiple things. So for me, it was about understanding that you can't coach feelings. So that was a huge aha moment for me. And the second thing was really not only being able to coach in the coachable moment, but recognizing that coachable moment in the moment and being able to capitalize on it. And that's obviously something that is part of the training and to me essential in order to really understand and help people move along in their journey. So I think there's, for me, those were the two things that stood out the most. It was about, you know, realizing what is a coachable moment and then realizing it as I'm hearing it so I can immediately be able to take action.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great takeaways. Both very powerful. Thanks, Michelle. Who'd like to go next? this what you expected? How is it different? Is it exciting? Did you share some of Tommy's sense about it?
I felt bad for Tommy because I could see, recognize that he was getting it, but like for me, I'm sitting here, it's so easy. I'm sitting here listening and learning, and I didn't have to respond, and I know he's trying to do it and listen and learn and respond at the same time, and I'm like, oh, bless your heart. I don't think I'm going to get here, so.
Right. Nice feedback. Thank you. Other thoughts, questions, or feedback?
I mean, coming from me, I could say that I wasn't expecting a situation like that. I was expecting, I mean, I guess I can't really say what I was expecting, but to me, to sum it up in an easy sentence, I guess, I was expecting more of somebody whose life is maybe in a rut and just there's troubles in one's life, not something with someone else. So, again, I expected to be caught off guard regardless, but not as much as that. But it was, again, it was really, really awesome training.
It's putting my life in the rut.
Great. Thanks, Tom. Anybody else? Thoughts, questions, feedback before I turn it over back over to Lisa?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that your voice is really amazingly nice, and I think that's a very nice way to compare how effective it is to have such a soft voice, because that's the most important contact we have with the coach.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And what's your name?
My name is Mel.
Lethal, okay. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Thoughts, questions, feedback. Going once. Going twice. Okay,
sold.
Lisa.
Sold. Right. That was funny. Oh, awesome. Well, thank you, Tommy and Claire. You guys are awesome. Thank you for being the brave volunteers. You know, I love this coach process because, you know, no matter what seat you're sitting in, whether you're like in the hot seat as coach or you're a client or you're observing safely like we were, everybody learns. It's just an amazing way to not just learn about coaching, but really experience coaching, you know, so. Let's open up for other questions. Questions about the Certified Coach Program. Let me, before we open it up, share with you that the two upcoming classes Dr. Jackie is teaching. So two classes this month. One begins on Tuesday, February 2nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So that's just next Tuesday, 9 p.m. That class is open for enrollment. Or Dr. Jackie has another class beginning on Monday, February 8th, and that's at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So just to let you know, you can start with Dr. Jackie this month. But let's open up the call for any other questions about coaching, the training. Who'd like to start? Lisa, you said that we had 12 classes of mentoring and 10 of coaching. What is the difference?
The group mentoring classes are every other week, and that's where you're really going deeper into the curriculum. There's other things that go on. I mean, you're talking about the simple coaching model. You'll be talking about a lot of the business and marketing side of things. You'll be doing round-robin coaching. You'll really be exploring niching, creating a hub statement. I'm sure I'm missing some, Jackie. What other topics?
Yeah, that was actually good.
I'm thinking, what else on the 12 weeks? But those are the 60-minute classes, and you can ask your mentor coach lots of questions about things. So there are assignments there that you are completing outside of class, and that's a great way for you to bring back questions about the assignments, learn more, go deeper. So those are the 60-minute classes, and then the other weeks are the Coach the Coach classes where you'll be doing coaching sessions just like Dr. Jackie did the demonstration of this evening.
Okay, thank you. And are those longer classes, the Coach the Coach?
Yes. So those are 90-minute classes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Dr. Jackie, would you describe a little bit about, I mentioned a round robin coaching. Would you describe a little bit about what a round robin coaching session is and kind of the what students learn and take away from that? Because I think that's really cool.
Yeah, a round robin is a skill drill. And on the way that I do round robin, there are a couple of ways to do it, but the way that I do a round robin is I am the client. And I come with a clearly articulated takeaway. And then we start at the top of the agenda, the top of the roster, and we work our way to the bottom of the roster the first time we do it. And I start at the bottom and go to the top the second time. So coach number one will ask me the first powerful question. Coach number two will ask me a powerful question only based on my response to coach number one. So it helps you really key in on the coachable moment. Then coach number two asks me a question. I respond. Coach number three asks the next question based on what I answered to the question posed by coach number two. And it helps you do three things. One, you have to know where in the simple coaching model you are. There are four steps to the simple coaching model. You must always know where in the model you are. That will dictate the kind of question you will construct. That's number one. Number two, you have to really listen carefully to the answer to the prior coach's question so you can find the coachable moment. Okay? So there's listening and tracking and finding the coachable moment and then building that powerful question. It's great. It's just great. So it's a little scary at first. It's really great. And then when I have classes that are not full, meaning 12 is a full CCP, and there's no extra time to do anything in a full CCP. But when we have classes that have less than 12, then there's generally an opportunity to throw in another one or two round robins. And they're just wonderful skill drills. And then I always encourage my students to challenge each other. So two sets of buddies or three sets of buddies or four or five students will come on a bridge and then they'll do round robins themselves. So once we do it in class, then I invite students to do round robins with each other through the remaining of the training. That's how powerful they are.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So any other last minute questions? Wow, we must have been very thorough, Dr. Jackie.
Sounds like.
All right, I'm going to start to wrap up, but if any questions pop up, feel free to jump in. But I want to thank everyone for your participation in the Becoming a Coach teleclass. It's been a lot of fun. We do a lot in this class. I know it's only 2 hours long, but we do accomplish quite a bit. And we started out earlier by setting an intention. You know, this is the year I will become a successful coach. And we heard some powerful responses to that, what that felt like. So I do want to leave you also with another question to consider, because I'm a coach. Of course, I'm going to leave you with a question, right? Mm-hmm. And that question is, what is your next immediate step to become a coach? So what is your next immediate step to become a coach? And I would love to hear your answer to that. So feel free to think about it, mull it over, email me, call me. I'm sure we'll all be in touch in the next couple days. But it's something great to think about. We've learned a lot. We did the co-creative relationship tonight, and we talked about what we do as coaches and what we don't do and what our clients do. And we got a chance to meet Dr. Jackie Black, who's got two classes coming up this month. Feel free to check those out, morning class and an evening class. And certainly we had a great opportunity with the help of our brave volunteers, Tommy and Claire, to do a coaching session and for you to experience firsthand how we teach here at Coach Training Alliance and why it's such a really powerful way to learn coaching skills, and how you'd really move forward toward mastery so quickly by doing it. You know, as we said earlier, all of our classes very hands-on and interactive. We believe it's really important to talk about coaching and learn about coaching and business and marketing, but what's really powerful is doing it and the accountability to utilizing everything you're learning. So, you know, coaching in class and being coached and observing coaching and getting feedback and putting your marketing together and putting your hub statement together so that as the course continues, you're building week after week. So each week is foundational to the next. So I want to thank everyone for joining us, and a special, special thanks to Tommy and Claire for being our brave volunteers. If there are any last-minute questions, I can take those now. Any questions for me or for Dr. Jackie? All right. Then I am going to invite you all to enroll in one of Dr. Jackie's classes, February 2nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Or Monday, February 8th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. If you're an early person, the 10 a.m. classes fill pretty quickly. Actually, the evening classes fill even more quickly. So if evenings work for you, do jump in on that. And do feel free to call me or email me if you have any questions. I'd love to hear from you. Again, my direct phone line is 303-991-0388. Email is lisa@coachtrainingalliance.com. And thank you, everyone, for joining us, and have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.